You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That was from my new Yeti cup that my good friend, Brother Wolven, got me. Did it sound better? It
sounded like a Columbus Tim Talks.
It did. It did, because this is a Columbus Tim Talks. We're back in the studio in Columbus, Ohio, at North Columbus Baptist Church for a great week of meetings here with Brother Wolven, having the time of my life. I always love when we get together, and our wives are together as well, because they're with us. And next week, get ready, folks, next week, the ladies of Tim Talks are going to be with us. And I know ladies enjoy hearing them. They do a great job. I wish we could get more of them on here. But we're going to get them and do a good long week of Tim Talks with our ladies.
So absolutely.
Be ready for that. Well, we've delved into the mailbag. And great questions on Monday. Some tough stuff, some tough questions here.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple for you today. Now, this is a very serious question. And it comes from Brooke. And Brooke asked, why are some Canadians mean? Brooke, I have no idea what you are talking about. You are delusional, my friend. Have you ever met a mean Canadian, Brother Wolven?
Yes.
Really?
They sit in little chairs at the border.
That's true.
In these little compartments.
That's true. They are mean. Hate them. The border crossing guys. Actually, the Canadian guys aren't too bad, I got to say. For a Canadian, I mean, as an American, you probably have had more dealing, especially when you try to bring a gun across the border. Unbelievable.
Who in the world would be idiot enough to do that?
Brother Wolven comes across the border and goes, look what I got. Pulls out a .38 stub-nosed revolver in Canada. I said, what are you doing with that? Because I brought it to teach Denise how to shoot.
Yeah, we were going to a Christian camp for the week.
Yeah.
And in the States, a lot of Christian camps have some ranges, target ranges. And so I just thought, hey, this would be a great time to Denise get used to this gun.
We don't have target ranges.
hardly anybody has handguns.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So it was 5 years in prison and one year per bullet?
It was a year in prison.
A year in prison.
Without question. No question. And 1 year for every bullet. Here he is with a loaded .38 stub-nosed revolver. Oh, I call the policeman friend.
Good thing I didn't have a Glock 19 with 18 in the chamber.
AR-15. Oh, I said, didn't you see that big sign as you drove in? No,
and I didn't. I see it every time now.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it then.
Oh, man.
Do you have anything to declare? No. No. Just going to go see some friends. No. I mean, I didn't think you had to declare that.
Yeah. I mean, I called a policeman and asked him what to do, and he didn't even arrest you. That's how nice Canadians are.
Yeah, nice.
When they know people have handguns, they don't even take them away from them. That's how nice we are. I will say that I think that, and I know Brooke is teasing. Brooke and I are friends. I'm mean to her, but she's the only person I'm mean to. No, I would say generally that Canadians try to be a very nice people. I think so. I think we try.
You know, and I'm not just talking about in churches, but, you know, I've come now many, many times over the last 35, 38 years, mm-hmm. back and forth into Canada, many different situations. And I'll tell you, whether you're in a park and, you know, in some restaurant or fast food place or a grocery store, I think people are very friendly. Now, mm-hmm. in my perspective, some Canadians are very reserved.
Yes.
And so some of that may be that English background, you know, the heritage, because generally, you know, people in England are noted for their lack of emotion and mm-hmm. things. Not, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, stereotypical. But maybe they're just quiet, reserved, and, you know, sometimes we get our impressions, must be somebody's mean or angry.
Right. I will tell you that I am not the typical Canadian. I would not be typical.
No.
I'm way too outgoing. And now, Canadians are humorous, and sarcasm is our humor. We have huge sarcasm. It's true. It's true. But I would say that most Canadians do try to be very friendly. There is an opinion side to Canadians, especially about America. They have an opinion. And it's often because America is so big and so loud as far as, you know, speaking out in the world. That kind of throws Canadians off a little bit. Especially when President Trump was president. His tweets and his very outspoken demeanor was hard for a lot of Canadians to accept.
Mm-hmm.
But
So the stereotypical Texan,
yes,
it would not be appreciated by majority of Canadians.
No, he would come and visit, and we would be nice. And when he left, we'd say, "American." Yeah, but we enjoy when people come. We love having visitors, and most Canadians like traveling. I find that a little bit different. Most Canadians have a passport and are ready to travel anywhere. Where I find a lot of folks in the States are just happy and content to stay in the States because you have really everything you need here. You've got warm climate. You've got, you know, mountains. You've got oceans. You've got, you know, all that you really need right here. So, and we have a lot of great things in Canada. And I'm sad that a lot of people that come to Canada only go to Niagara Falls. And it's incredible. I mean, you need to go see it. It's an incredible wonder of the world. But there's so much more to the country.
Yeah.
And if you can get to the coast, East Coast, Quebec has a lot to offer. Great culture there. Mm-hmm. Poutine. I mean, you could just go for that. And then, you know, Ontario, we have Toronto is the fourth largest city in North America. There's all kinds of stuff to do there. The Plains, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan, I'm sorry, but if you want just peace and tranquility and to see your dog run away for 3 days, that's where you want to go.
It's flat. You can still see him. It's running for three days.
Yes. Alberta, you get into the foothills and British Columbia, the mountains. So beautiful country. And of course, the territories. Wow, just incredible. I mean, just wide open spaces. So Brooke, I apologize. I'll try to be nicer to you and to other people and be a better Canadian. All right.
And of course, we know there's no mean Americans.
No. Nope. Not at all.
Matter of fact, I shouldn't say Americans.
Yes.
Because that's one of the issues, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we're both North Americans.
North Americans.
That's right.
Yes, but we understand who Americans are. We've got that distinction well laid out. Did I mention we're building a large wall? For no reason. No reason. Okay. Question number two. We're going to go back to Marie Willard, who sent in some great questions. She asks, how can I get my kids to get along better? Good question. That's a tough thing.
Well, the first thing I'd ask is, how old?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I would say the kids are, I'm going to guess now, I'm going to say between like 5 and 9.
Okay.
Kind of in that range. That's a tough, and boys and girls. So that's tough. Getting kids to get along. Duct tape is the answer. Duct tape to a chair. I would say, seriously, I think that kids need structure. And I think kids today need a structure playing time. And we don't like doing that as adults. We want them just to go out and play. And kids are going to fight. Kids are going to do that. But I think structured time helps. And when you have an odd number of kids, if you have 3 kids, that's always a tough situation because somebody always gets left out on that one. It's hard for 3 kids to play together. So I would recommend maybe letting 2 play together and 1 gets quality time with mom or dad at times and kind of rotate that through so that everybody gets that. That middle child often struggles because the baby gets a little more attention from mom and dad. The older one has already set the way. So that would be some of my suggestions. You had 3 boys. How'd you do it?
We just realized that they're going to get on each other's nerves every once in a while. But, you know, we would reinforce the positive of your brothers. You know, we're family. You know, maybe family devotion. I'm going to bring that up. I'm going to show, you know, look at Joseph's brothers. Isn't that a real shame, selling their brother? He cried, please don't do this. And here, 15 years later, they still remember him crying and asking him not to do that. That bothered them inside, as mean as they seem. So even as adults, you know, they didn't get along.
We tried that with our kids, and I told them the same story. And the girl said, "How much do you think we could get for Nate?"
But it's that constant reinforcement.
Right.
All the time. You know, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's going to be negative.
Right.
Hey, I told you, you're not allowed to do that. You know,
you are
going to love each other. Yeah. You're going to get along. You're not allowed to argue. Mm-hmm. Stop. Nope. You're not allowed. Okay. You go to your room. Mm-hmm. You go to your room. You've been arguing. We're not going to do it. We do not allow it. And honestly, you know, some moms feel like that's all they've done all day long is referee.
Right, right. Dad has to have an active role in that.
Oh, whenever he comes home, yeah.
Right. Our kids got along for the better part. I would say that the teaming up was usually Kayla and Nate against Alice and the baby. There's a little bit of space between them. Nate and Kayla are 2 years apart, and Allison was three. So there was just a little bit of space there. So the two older ones, they became buddies real quick, and Nate just gets along with everybody. He's just such a likable person, and he's been that way even as a kid. And he was very amicable, and he would do, you know, whatever they wanted to do. Kayla was the oldest, and she kind of led the way, and she determined what everybody was going to do. They would do a lot of skits and plays and things like that, and Kayla directed it, you know, and they'd get Nate dressed up and all these goofy things, he'd do it. And then, you know, Allison kind of just tagged along in that. And so, you know, Allison would complain that they were mean to her, and we hardly ever saw that. They would do it when we weren't looking. And so one day I caught them, and they got it. But, yeah, pretty good. But I think if you can have some organized structure for them, that helps a lot.
Yeah, we're of the age where the answer to everything when we were growing up was a spanking.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what it was, that's the answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, there other generations that are younger than us will say, that's so terrible, that's so wrong. It wasn't really.
No.
You know,
no.
But I am not of the opinion that everything deserves a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're going to talk, sometimes you're going to explain, sometimes you're going to ground, sometimes but there does, don't be afraid to spank,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes, you know, kids will take it a lot farther than what you let them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll go farther. They always do. We did when we were growing up. And so, you know, you kids are going to push it. And so don't be afraid to spank them.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when I was a kid growing up, my mom sent us outside. It was just my sister and I, and we played a lot with our neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you that in this electronic age, I don't think that's a help to our kids.
I don't see kids outside playing ever.
No, hardly. And the problem
is, sometimes the same family in a fenced yard.
Right.
But it isn't like, you know, the neighborhood kids. I mean, we played with all the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, tag and all kinds, kickball, baseball, football. I mean, all kinds of things, you know, G.I. Joe, superheroes, you know, I mean, we're just playing and playing and playing and playing.
I think that's part of the problem, too, is that as kids, I mean, if you got sick of your brother and sister, you wouldn't play with a neighbor kid. Or, you know, you'd have the other neighbor kids to play with, and there was more involved. And I think today with the electronics, kids don't know how to play anymore almost. They don't know how to go out and be creative. And that creativity... Yeah.
It's a learning process.
...burns off a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, you know, start bringing some of the neighbor kids into your yard, or taking, you know, some of the kids from the neighborhood to the park with you or something, and allow your kids to interact. And then you have an opportunity to get them to church and, you know, disciple other people that way and break that mold. Let's get back to some of those things. And I know people are nervous about that. I know people get afraid about their kids and all that. But if you're there as a parent and, you know, can be a part of that, or they're in your yard, you have supervision over that.
Now, our kids went to Christian school, mm-hmm. except for 2 years. They homeschooled here. Mm-hmm. But so they weren't around each other all day. There are a lot of, now you homeschool.
We homeschool.
And so some of that you know, we're sick of each other. You know, we've been around each other all day, and now we're playing. And so, you know, sometimes maybe there needs to be a little bit of a break. You would be able to talk about that better than me.
Well, our kids waited for the kids in the neighborhood to get off the bus. As soon as they got off the bus, they were over there, hey, let's do something. Awesome. And a lot of times they came and played in our yard. And I remember one kid, he was playing in our backyard, and they were playing football, the kids were playing. And one of the kids cussed. And one of the other kids said, hey, you can't use that language here. God lives here. And Ruthie came out and said, that's right. But, yeah, the kids played in our yard. And, you know, they played hide and seek at night, ran through the neighborhood. And we lived in a very secure neighborhood. We were very thankful for that. And I, like most people, am cautious today. But I don't think that we can allow that fear to overcome us. Where it hurts our kids. Kids need to play. They need to play with other kids. They need to be outside, get some fresh air, run it off. And if you can do those kind of things, that's awesome. Wow. We're at 15 minutes. Do you want to take one more?
Go ahead. We got a light one?
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Somebody's asked for our funniest help or smite story. So let's tell one. I'll let you tell one.
Funniest.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
Oh, we've Brother got Springer. So many.
Yeah, Brother Springer asked for this.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'll, if you can think of one, and then we'll leave some for Friday.
Goodness. To try to narrow it down, you know, we could, we sit for hours and talk about the smart
stories. Once you get rolling, that's the problem.
Yes.
So, Hoagie Bill, Star of Smite, there's that one.
I wasn't there, so I couldn't necessarily say.
Yeah.
You know, it's been that one has been repeated to me, but I think I was on 38 Smite, so got a lot of
surgeon.
You with Smite and help, you got probably about as many.
Yeah, you're the storyteller.
I would say probably, you know, one of the most impressive times was. What was it, 96 at your place? I think it was 96. Maybe it was before that.
It was
94, something like that. But whenever we had those tornadoes rolling, you know, here we had the tent, the kids out in the tent, and I mean, those tornadoes came rolling in, and, you know, we lost power. And now you got these kids. You're going to take them home now in a tornado? No. You got to wait. And so we had pulled up a couple of vehicles. And let the headlight shine, and left the door open in, in the fellowship hall building.
Our old auditorium.
To shine some in there, and of course the church building, the auditorium, was a separate building, and so whenever they lost the power there, of course you're able to get by without you know PA system and things, but you know the special was just getting ready to sing, and somebody's behind her with a flashlight. Holding it on the music so she can sing, and she sings, Carry the Light.
Yeah.
Carry the Light.
It was perfect. Perfect. I think it was Brenda Saplita. I think it was Brenda.
Yeah.
Carry the Light. Yeah, we had how many kids crammed in that building? 300?
It was over 200.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember the number.
The legal limit was like 80. I know that. It was way more.
Yeah. Well, that tent, man, I mean, was getting ready to come down or lightning strike it or,
Yeah. The wind was whipping. In fact, one of our drivers saw a tornado driving home. He saw a small twister on the way home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was exciting. I don't know if that's our funniest one, but it was exciting.
It was interesting.
We had... Was it the first one or the second one? We had 700 kids in the day school. And I think we had...
The second one.
Yeah, and I think we had almost 500 in
our largest one. The first one was a good boost for you. The second one just helped multiply.
Well, that was really the one that really put us over the top.
Yeah,
that was good. Do you go back... Did they still go back a second time to some places?
They have a couple of times. Yeah. They did here. I'm grateful that you came here.
Yeah.
Second time for us.
That was a great help. So for those of you that don't know, the Smite or Help program is a large program that the Cleveland Baptist Church developed for years and would bring about 150 people to a smaller church, do a week-long vacation Bible school with 10, 12 Bible clubs, you know, and at times have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of children come. And then there was an evening revival service.
Yes.
And saw, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people saved. We had 222 people saved. I'll never forget that.
Amen.
In that second one that we had.
Amen.
Just incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah. Speaking of mean Canadians, I do remember this one where we were in Buffalo.
Yeah.
We had a smite in Buffalo.
Yep.
And you and I roomed together.
Yes.
And you enjoyed my ticking clock all night. And so, of course, whenever the first morning, whenever the alarm went off, you know, big old loud bell, you jumped up and grabbed your heart and went,
I am a light sleeper.
And so every night I had to try to find the alarm because you were the first one in the room and you'd hide it on me. So
in the refrigerator.
So on Saturday we went to Niagara Falls. And so here's six buses of people going up there, maybe five buses. And so I was driving one of the buses, and we get across going into the border. Of course, you don't go through the regular toll stops with all these buses. And so we go over to this area, and one of the inspectors was standing on the curb, at the edge of the curb. And that curb was probably, you know, because somehow it dipped down, and the building was higher. And so that curb probably was about a foot and a half high. And he wanted me to come right there. He's like, you, right here, come right here. And so, you know, the doors on the bus would open outward. They didn't have that accordion fold. They both opened outward. And so I pulled up close enough to where I couldn't open the door. So I scooted up and pulled out just a little bit. I mean, you know, 3 feet.
Yeah.
And that guy was so mad that I didn't stop right where he was. And I did, but I couldn't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just furious. He gets on that bus and he starts yelling and he looks around and he said, who's in charge here? And he looks at me and he says, is there an adult on this bus I can talk to? And of course, you know, he was furious. And I just sat there and acted like, I'm not an adult. If you don't think I'm an adult, I'm not going to say anything. And Brother Bob Mack was sitting in the front seat.
Yeah.
And he went, you can talk to me. And man, that guy chewed him up one side hilarious. Down the other just because he had to walk 3 feet, you know.
Wow.
So that was a memorable, is there an adult here?
Yes. Yeah. That was a good one. I remember
that. That was a good one.
And I will say that I think he was justified. As an American, you tried to just overpower him with your strength and ability.
You know, sitting on that phone book.
Yeah.
I think that's
what it was. And as Canadians, we're not good walkers. We don't like to walk. We cheer for Canada and the Winter Olympics because we don't run. We don't care about the Summer Olympics. We don't run. Oh, man.
Curling is
very... Yeah, there's no running in curling.
Exactly.
No. So there you go. Well, another great podcast today.
All right. And, on Friday, you're going to have to give your story.
Okay. Friday. Yep. Yeah, I'll give... Well...
You got 2 days to think of it.
I got so many, though.
Exactly.
I got to think of the best one. All right. Well, listen, this is Al Stone with the Canadian Gospel Project saying, please... give towards that $200,000 matching offering. That'd be great if you could do that. And pray for us as we do that. And if we don't make it, that's okay. We're going to get close. We're just $30,000 away from reaching that $200,000. So great, great, great. Good to be with you. Good to be in the studio together. I love doing it this way. The editing is going to be so much easier.
Absolutely.
And the last couple weeks have been rough with traveling and different things. I had a few faux pas. I missed a few edits.
Yes, just a few pauses.
Yeah. Thanks for those who let me know, and I was able to go back and make some corrections. But
I was just going to leave it up, man.
Oh, I'll try to do better. I'll try to do better. This is Al Stone.
On the other side of the microphone, sitting in for an adult, is Dan Wolven.
On a telephone book.
Exactly.
This is Tim Talks. Have a great week. We'll see you Friday.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.